It's the Sound Kitchen.
Yummy.
You're listening to a Sound Kitchen Special with Daniel Finnan.
A Sound Kitchen Special with Daniel Finnan.
Hello and welcome to the Sound Kitchen. I'm Daniel Finnan, standing in for Susan, who's away at the moment, in today's action-packed show. We'll be playing computer games at a special exhibition in Paris, which has proved so popular they've just extended it till December. Rachel Koo, an up-and-coming food creative, will be joining us to bring us today's Sound Kitchen recipe, and of course we'll have our quiz. But first, some music. Our theme today is dance and electronica. First up is an artist called Bonobo, who's touring across Europe at the moment. This is a track called Kyra from his latest album, Black Sands. Now to an interactive exhibition at Paris's Arts and Métiers Museum, which has been attracting computer game boffins in their hordes. Museo Games tracks the history of computer games and the evolution of technology. It also allows visitors to get hands-on with classics such as Pong, Space Invaders, Mario Brothers, Donkey Kong and Sonic the Hedgehog. We spoke to Stefan Natkin, a professor of computer science, who's one of the exhibition organizers.
You can't make an exhibition about games without playing games. And it's probably the main interest of the exhibition because you have some father, 50 years old, coming where the children and they show them, you know what, I was terrible on this, just try to fight with me. And you have a mix of generation and the young people understand that old games have not the same image and same representation than game you have now, but they are still very interesting. You can still play these games.
Has this kind of thing been done elsewhere before, or is this the first time that such an exhibition has been put together where you can actually play and touch the games?
It's the first time there is an exhibition like that in France and in a national museum, a government museum. I think it's the recognition of the fact that video game is really a part of our culture. At the opening, there were some people waiting during 4 hours to enter into the exhibition. It's the first time this happened here.
Where did you manage to get all these consoles from, and who went round collecting them, and who decided which games?
The console come from two sources. One, we have a collection of console in the museum, permanent collection, but as it's government collection, you cannot touch them. And then there is an association in France called MO5, which is in charge of collecting consoles and which has a big collection. So the console you can play come from MO5. They have selected with the people of the history here, technology, they have selected the console which can be played according to some historical criteria and also the fact that it can play and it will not be broken 2 days after the beginning. Then when the console was selected, I asked three people who know very well the history of game, Nicolas Gaume, one of the founders of the game history in France, Thierry Perrault and Emmanuel Gardiola. I gave them the set of console and I asked them, which game would you select as the most representative
You also have videos in the exhibition and various interviews of people who are involved in the gaming industry in France. How important is the video game industry to France?
There was a great period of the French touch on games at the end of the 90s. I would say an important industry, even if it doesn't represent many employment. Maybe you can think that in France we have between 5,000 to 7,000 people which are producing games. Games are the anticipation of the next generation of media. I don't think that you can define a general characteristic, but of course when you see a game, Raven Rabbids is a game that I think only French people can make, like a Final Fantasy be made only by Korean people.
He says that the popularity of Musio games has encouraged the organisers to extend the exhibition until at least December. This is not surprising, really, when especially at weekends, the museum is packed with game-playing geeks of all ages. However, there is a 1.5 hour limit on each game playing session, so that everybody gets their chance to grab a controller to play their favourite. Time for a little tour of Musio Games to find out more.
And now we're entering in the main room. In the main room you have, you can play on the consoles, and then you have some screen behind the table. Everybody can see the game which is played. So you can be in this exhibition as an interactive actor, or you can be more passive, more classical spectator, looking people playing.
You can't get away with not playing very well, because everybody's going to see you, not just the person standing behind your particular computer screen, but the screens up behind you will reveal your bad play.
As a director of a school of games, I choose only the games where I'm sure that I'm playing correctly, because if I haven't, my students in the behind me, they would say the director is unable to play, he cannot direct the school. So we have also some movies, which is a comparison of Mario and Buster Keaton. Buster Keaton in a movie and Mario, and you see that many codes of the movies in games came from cinema, from film. At the end of the main room, you have a timeline which explains some of the main events between the launch of the first game until the beginning of this century.
Through the back here, we've got the arcade area.
Exactly. Some are very classical. You can play almost all the old arcade games, from Space Invader to Donkey Kong.
One of the big favorites over here is Street Fighter 2.
Yes, I used to play at that, I don't know how long times ago.
So back through into the console area, Stefan, what is one of the most popular games amongst the people who come and play here?
Many people play Donkey Kong and of course Mario, because it's Mario.
The classics, nothing beats Mario.
Exactly.
Thanks there to Stefan Nadkin from the National Conservatory of Arts and Industry.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
It's the Sound Kitchen.
This is the Sound Kitchen.
You're listening to the Sound Kitchen.
And Daniel Finnan is cooking.
A track there from Alteryx called Oberkampf 1, inspired by the well-known street in the 11th district of Paris. This producer has influences from across Europe, having spent time in France, Germany and Holland. You can check out more of his music online. There'll be links available on our website, plus a full track listing. Visit our features section, then click on Sound Kitchen. Well, the Sound Kitchen wouldn't be the Sound Kitchen without a recipe. So this week we're going to meet someone who has a fresh approach to all things edible, who's making a bit of a stir in Paris. This British chef has just had a second book published, hails from the famous Cordon Bleu School of Culinary Arts, and is here to cook us up a treat.
Hi, my name's Rachel Koo. I'm a food creative, and today for Sound Kitchen we'll be making a lemon curd, which is from my second cookbook, J'ai fait mes pâtes tartinées. It's super simple to make. All you need is lemons, sugar, eggs and butter. So what you do is basically you start off with 3 lemons, which you're going to zest. Make sure you're using non-treated, ideally organic lemons, which haven't got any pesticide on it.
Can already smell those lemons, they smell great.
It's very zingy on your scones to be very British, or if you want to do it like a little French style, you can make a little verrine, a little glass with lemon curd, a bit of fromage blanc, and a little biscuit. So now I've zested all my lemons. I'm going to chop them in half and then juice them. I've just got an old-fashioned juicer.
Oh, it's squirting quite a lot.
Bit of a mess. Okay, so I've juiced all my lemons and I'm just going to pour it in a pot with my lemon zest. In it goes, like that. I'm also going to add, what I have here is 200 grams of caster sugar. It's just plain white sugar. And that's going to go in my pot as well with the lemon zest and lemon juice. And then I have 3 eggs. So ideally you want to use free range, everything but the shell. Oh, and I've got a bit of shell in there. So you add your 3 eggs with your sugar, your lemon zest and your lemon juice. So you've got everything in the pot at the moment. So you've got your sugar, your lemon zest, your lemon juice and your eggs. And we're just going to give that a little whisk. So we're just mixing it together there. Okay, and we're going to add a pinch of salt. Now, the reason why we're adding a pinch of salt, because when you add a pinch of salt, it actually brings out the sweetness. So at this point, we're going to pop it on the hob, on the stove, and we're going to heat it gently. You've got to stir it constantly. The eggs will thicken up the curd.
So it's just a standard gas stove?
It's a gas stove, very, very Parisian, 2 rings only. So on the hob, it's quite high heat. And if you're comfortable with that, you can just keep it on a high heat. But you do have to constantly stir. What will happen if you don't stir is the eggs will curdle and you'll get scrambled eggs. This takes about 5 to 10 minutes, depending on how hot your heat is. Just keep on stirring. When it starts to bubble, you know it's reached the right thickness, okay? So at this point, what you're going to do is you're going to add your butter, which there's 100 grams of softened cube butter. You don't want it too cold, and you add bit by bit. You add 1 cube at a time, and you just keep on stirring it until it's melted. Don't add it all at once, because if you do add it all at once, what happens, it separates a little, and the butter can't be absorbed by the curd mixture really well, so it's best to do it like bit by bit.
So all the butter's gone in now?
Yeah, all the butter's gone in and it's all melted in. It's done. So all you need to do at this point is either put it in a sterilised glass or in a Tupperware container and then put it in the fridge to cool. And then once it's cold, you can use it for whatever you fancy. On toast, in desserts. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy, lemon squeezy. A big merci to Rachel Koo for inviting us into her kitchen. The lemon curd recipe is listed on rfienglish.com, as well as links to her website where you can find out more about her books, blog and workshops.
The Sound Kitchen Sound Quiz.
The Sound Kitchen Sound Quiz.
Sound Kitchen Sound Quiz.
The Sound Kitchen Sound Quiz.
This week's quiz takes a slightly different format while Susan is away. We're going to be asking you to identify a sound, so have your pens and paper ready. But before all that, it's time to announce the winners from the 15th of August. Susan wanted to know who were the four principal candidates in the Rwandan presidential elections, and who was declared winner. Well, Paul Kagame was declared winner with 93% of the vote, securing a second term as president. The other candidates were Vice President of the Chamber of Deputies and former Minister of Health Jean Damascene Tawu Koria Yayo of the Social Democratic Party, from the Liberal Party Vice President of the Senate and former Minister of Commerce Prosper Hijero, and Senator Alvira Muka Baramba of the Party for Progress and Concord. And our winners are Stephen Wara from Bamenda in Cameroon, one of our Ugandan listeners, Uma Samuel from Iganga, Tamasagan Mutela Aisene from Addis Ababa in Ethiopia, who also asks when we will begin broadcasting on FM in his country. Well, Tamasagan, we're very sorry. There are no plans to do so for the moment. We hope you'll continue to enjoy listening online. Mr. Mohamed Nazir from Katsina in Nigeria. In the United States, Jean Faguet from Attleboro in Massachusetts. Here in Europe, Hans-Werder Lolike from Denmark. Over in India, Meena Chakraborty from Kolkata in West Bengal. Nimchad Ganguly from Tahirpur. Gautam Kumar Sharma from Guwahati in East India. And last but not least, Mohamed Sharmin from Kerala State. Mr. Sharmin also kindly sent in information about the biggest and most important festival in his state, the Festival of Onam, which can last for up to 10 days. He says this colourful and vibrant festival celebrates the legend of the Ashura king, Mahabali, who despite all his virtues had one shortcoming, being egotistical. The gods used this shortcoming to bring an end to his reign, however granted him one blessing, the annual opportunity, the Onam Carnival, to visit his people with whom he was so attached. Commiserations to all those who missed out, maybe you'll be lucky next time. As we said earlier, this week's quiz is something a little different. We want you to identify a sound we recorded in central Paris. The deadline for entries is the 1st of November, and we'll read out the answers on the 8th of November. Get ready for the sound. You'll hear this type of sound across Paris. But we want to know specifically where this sound comes from. Little clue, the sound originates from a famous Paris landmark. That sound again. Send us your answers by post or email, remembering to give us your full name, whether you are male or female, and full postal address.
You can write to the Sound Kitchen at the following address: BP 9516, 75016 Paris, France. That's the Sound Kitchen, BP 9516, 75016 Paris, France. Or you can email the show on english.service@rfi.fr. That's english.service@rfi.fr.
That's all we've got time for. We'll play you out with the London electro band Finesse Solar and a track called Lights.
Va bene, si tu la parla miez americano, quando si fa la mola sotto la luna, come da bene in cave di I love you, papà l'americano.
Americano.